Sermon title today is I Told Me. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 this morning, for those that have been coming to Sunday school or CE should be very, very familiar with Ephesians, and it seems like we get more familiar all the time. But when we turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and you go down to verse 4, and we're going to read verses 4 through 10, and verse 4 it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of your works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we see that in verse 5, by the grace of God that you and I have been saved today. In verse 6, it says, spiritually today, and for us to know that today, that spiritually we are seated with Christ in heaven today. Even though I live here on this earth, heaven is my home. I am a child of God. I belong to the kingdom of heaven. I'm just passing through this world. In fact, Philippians 3:20, we won't turn there, but this is what it says. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." So in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are created by God for God. Each one of us today has a God plan and a God purpose for each and every one of our lives. My identity, now listen to me, because you're going to hear this word over and over today. My identity as a person is founded in my life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Through Christ, I know who I am, what I will do in life, and where I will spend eternity. Who am I? I'm a child of God. With what will I do in my life? I will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And when this life is over, I will spend eternity in heaven with the Lord. We live in a lost and dying world today. The world spends its whole life trying to figure out who they are, what they will do. And no one under the age of 65 ever worries about number 3, because they don't think that death is ever going to touch them. But the scripture says it is appointed unto man once to die. If the Lord Jesus does not come back and return, someday I will be gone from this earth. I will pass away. So I know who I am. I know what I'm supposed to do while I'm on this earth. It doesn't matter if you've got a job here or you got a job over here. Your identity is not found in that job. Your identity is found in who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Before you come to Christ, you identified yourself by what you thought of yourself or by what others thought of you. An example, how many people identify themselves by their job or what schooling that they have accomplished in their life or by the recognition that they get from other people. 2 Corinthians 5:17, let's go there very quickly, and I know that you're very familiar with it, but we go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we can quote it, but I want you to look at the words as we read that. So in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says what? "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So as a child of God, I am a new creation in Christ. Past mistakes don't identify me. I don't identify myself. I don't identify myself, nor do I let other people identify me. I am identified who I am and what I am by the Word of God. Amen. Now turn with me to Psalms chapter 1, because it gives us another example of other people that we do not look at besides ourselves. So we go to Psalm 1 and verse 1. Psalm 1 and verse 1. In Psalm 1 and verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man or the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." In other words, I don't let the ungodly world in which I live in identify who I am, nor do I identify myself. "Nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and that brings forth its fruit in his season, whose life also shall not wither, and whatever he does, it shall prosper." We meditate on the Word of God because that identifies who we are as a people, and we don't allow ourselves to identify yourself. You'd be amazed how much that you do that. Now, for the question for us today is, are you still trying to give yourself your identity? Or are you allowing other people to identify who you are? You talk about seeing daylight between you and the Word of God in your life. Satan loves it when you try to identify yourself. Satan loves it when you allow other people to identify who you are as a person or as your past. He can really beat up on each and every one of us if we allow him to do that. And you know what this sermon came from? This sermon came from a little 5-year-old girl. She is the cutest great-granddaughter in the world. She is the smartest great-granddaughter in the world. And if you don't think that way about your grandchildren or great-grandchildren, then something's wrong with you, right? Several times through discussion, I'm talking about Callie, we would ask her, "How did you know that? Who told you that?" And you know what her answer was? "I told me." "I told me." Now turn with me to Numbers, the book of Numbers. We're going to go all the way back in the Old Testament. Chapter 13. "I told me." And there was something else that she would say too, Carol. What was it?
"My brain sees it."
"My brain sees it." "My brain sees it. I told me and my brain sees it." Now when you go to Numbers chapter 13, and Numbers can be kind of a difficult book to find, but in verse 1 it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses," so the children of Israel are ready to go into the promised land. "And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, 'Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel.'" Now, if you believe in underlining your Bible, if you look and you underline, "which I am going to give, I am giving to the children of Israel," he'd already give it to them. You got it? You got it? I got it. He gave it to them. The land was theirs. All they had to do was go in and possess it. They were sending spies in to see what the land was going to look like. "So the land which I am giving." Now go to verse 30. Same chapter, verse 30. In verse 30 it says this, "But the men who had gone up with him saying, 'We are not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied on, saying, 'The land through which we are gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from giants, and we are like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." Can you hear the words? Who told you that you were grasshoppers in their sight? "I told me." "I told me." "My brain told me." The Lord had said he'd gave them the land. It was theirs. All they had to do was go in and take possession. 12 spies were sent in. 10 of them had daylight between them and what the Word of God says, because this is what the Word of God's saying. "I'm giving this to you. All you got to do is go in and take possession." But between that was a doubt in the daylight between their belief in the Word of God to say we are nothing but grasshoppers in their sight. Brother and sister, the Lord has given us this church. The Lord has given us that church. The Lord has given this school. It's already yours. All we have to do is take possession of it. In Numbers, you go to chapter 16, or chapter 14, and go to verse 6. In verse 6 it says, "But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land that we pass through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them.' And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the meeting before all the children of Israel." If I had a full-length mirror, I was going to bring one today, but it's too heavy. But if I had a full-length mirror and I set it up right up here, and I said, "I want you to come up here one by one, and I want you to look in that mirror and tell me what you see," what would your report be? Would your opinion be one that is from you, of what you see? Or would your opinion be from what others have told you that they see by looking in the reflection? If I ask you who told you that, would you say, "I told me"? Or would you say, "Others have told me"? If you give yourself the ability or the choice or others the ability to give you your identity, it will always be distorted. How many of us would stand before the mirror and report back that I am wonderfully and fearfully made? The past is in the past. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. That God through Christ gives me my identity of who I am. Do you see how important the Word of God is in every one of our lives, for each and every one of us, for our daily life and for our living? If I want to find out what I need to do, what I need to be about, where my focus needs to be, who I am identified with, who I am as a child of God, what do I need to accomplish, then I need to turn to the Word of God, not look in the mirror and give me my own identity, or turn to others and say, "What do you think about me?" I need to turn to the Word of God, because it will tell me the truth of who I am in Christ Jesus. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We're almost done. Romans chapter 12. Why this sermon today? Somebody needs to hear this. Somebody needs to hear this. You need to hear it about yourself. You're not trash. You're not garbage. God is not in the garbage business. He is not in the trash business. He's in the wonderfully and fearfully made business. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world." I'll stop there. Do not be conformed to this world or be transformed by this world by what you think or by what others think about you. "But by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each a measure of faith." The Scripture says that I need to think soberly about myself. Or I need to think about myself rightly. Not too highly. And no, I'm not all that in a bag of cookies. but also not so lowly that I think, that I think rightly about myself. Now turn with me, I think, one last scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 is a very important scripture for all of you today. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. Verse 4 says this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now listen to the words. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If you are thinking negative things about yourself, or others are telling you negative things about yourself, it can be very defeating. It can be very depressing. It can be very discouraging. You need to take those thoughts and bring them into the captivity of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is not who, what God, or what God is saying about you as an individual. Are you arguing with God today about who and what you are in Christ? Stop saying who you are, what others say who you are, and start saying who God says that you are in Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. Stop believing the lies of the adversary. And start believing the truth of God's Word. 2 weeks, and we start school. Before these kids graduate, and I know this is Jennifer's goal as well, that I want each one of them, these kids, to be able to report back to us. I am a child of the Most High God. I am wonderfully and fearfully created. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus, and through His strength, I can do all things. You agree with that? Amen. Well, when you agree with that, you should also be the same report of yourself. You don't wish anything any less for those kids than them to know Jesus and be raised up in righteousness and live a righteous life before God and a blessed life before God. You don't wish anything less for those children. You know what? God doesn't wish any less for you of who you are in Jesus Christ. You know, most certainly, in closing, we are birthed out of our childhood. And I don't know how many kids that we as adults started out at 5 years old, and our mother didn't treat us right, or our father didn't treat us right, and you know, we go through the rest of our life thinking we're nothing but a piece of trash, that we're unloving, that nobody loves us, there's no way that God can love us. And the whole time of our life, you know what we have done? We have believed a lie, because the Word of God says how special you are in the eyes of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we pray that, Father, you would sweep over this place, touch every heart and every life. And I pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would reveal to them how special that they are in your eyes and how much that you love him. How much that you love each and every one of them. And that you have a plan and you have a purpose for them. They are not trash, but wonderfully and fearfully created by the God of the universe. We give you all praise and all glory, and we, as we leave this place, we pray that your hand would be upon each and every one of our lives, and we ask this all today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen. Amen. God bless you all.